Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So proudly we hail at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight.
Good morning, welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this Saturday morning. It is 6:03 here in the Bayou City. Let's run down to Corpus Christi now. Let's check in with our good friend, Captain Cliff Webb, see what he's up to this morning. Good morning, Cliff. What's up?
Morning, Mickey. What's up, buddy?
Oh, not a lot, man.
I've been sending you some good pictures. We had a big trout smackdown this week, buddy. It was
yes,
good.
I saw that. I think our little friend... Rihanna De La Cruz, she had some pretty good pictures, too. So, man, y'all were on it.
It was stupid, like four days of
big fish alone, man. You're making us jealous up here. You need to stop that.
It was a good week. It was a good week, man. I got so lucky on that deal. So, you know, Monday, I got this guy, Kyle, listens to radio a lot, you know, and he's bringing some friends. I hadn't fished him before, and we pulled in there, and they want to wade. You know, they got four of them. They want to wade in the... So I pulled down. We got super high water. Same old deal. Just scattered fish, you know, just all over the place, you know. So I pulled into this flat. I found this bait last week, and I pulled in this flat, and it's just acres of mullet, you know, and they're all up on top of the water. It's real slick, and they're just up on top. And every once in a while, you see a bird come by, and, you know, they just shower out of the water. They, you know, spook like that. So we get in there, and we pile out on those fish, and the early morning bite was good. We caught a lot of fish between 24 and 26, you know, good trout and some nice reds. You know, and nothing over 26, nothing over 6 pounds, but nice fish. You know, I just knew there's got to be a bigger fish in here, Mickey.
Sure.
And we wore them out pretty good, you know. Then it just died off, the mullet kind of left and stuff. And I said, hey, man, we got a major at 1 o'clock. Let's come back in here. Let's go look somewhere else. And so we fire up, make a long run, and pull into a little side channel. And one of the guys flipped out there and catched a 5.5-pound flounder. Did you see that picture?
Yeah.
That was a flounder. But
that's a doormat.
That's a doormat, man. It was 5.5 pounds. So it just kind of made his day. You know, he was just all he wanted was a flounder. So we caught a flounder. Then we started throwing topwater in there, and we're catching trout, but they're like, you know, 16, 18, 19. If you were going to keep fish, they'd be perfect, but no really big ones. We had one big one in there about 25 inches. Other than that, they were nothing like we were catch we pulled off of.
Right.
And by then, we had an east wind blowing, you know, 12 to 15. It's the absolute perfect wind to drift when you got scattered fish. And a lot of times what I find when I got really scattered fish on a long, long flat, I'll do better drifting with my guys
always.
Out of the boat.
Yes.
And so I pulled back in the spot we left that morning, and I kicked the boat sideways and put the trolling motor down so I keep it sideways. And we got the most perfect wind for this flat. And we're firing out there, getting huge blow-ups. And I got one guy on the boat, Alan. He's got a one knocker that's bone and silver with that red head. I don't know that woody woodpecker color.
Right.
And man, that thing was so hot. He was smoking them on that bait, man. He was getting 3 or 4 blow-ups to our one. And then we had a major blow-up and missed it. So we come back around, and we come back to the spot again, and he blows up, and he catches that fish. It's 28 inches. But
wow.
It didn't quite weigh 7. It weighed 26. It weighed 6 3/4, which is a great fish, but he's 28
sure.
inches long. You know, he's skinny, you know, but just a great fish. And we ended up the day, you know, catching several big fish in there and, you know, ended up on a real positive note. So I couldn't wait to get back in there the next day. Then on Tuesday, my guy gets sick and doesn't come on Tuesday. So I just kind of go, oh, man, I'm going to lose track of my fish, you know. So I get back in, and on Wednesday and Thursday, I got guys that they fish with Jay down in Mansfield. They book a week with him and fish Mansfield, you know, for mm-hmm. years. And so I know these guys are good. I know these
right.
guys. All I got to do is add water on these guys, and it was true, you know. So we pulled back in there on Wednesday morning, Mickey, and, man, those fish were in there, God almighty. And it was so cool because it's a time when you got so much bait on top of the water. You go, well, where's all the fish? I mean, you got so much bait. Where do I start?
Right.
And we sit there and watch, and you could watch that bait, and you could see those trout moving through it. They'd move through it, and those bait would flip, 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 and they'd move through it. They'd go down another 100 yards, they'd flip, flip. You could just see that school of trout moving down that bunch of bait. And so we troll motor down, and we get in front of those jumps. You know, we pile out, and those guys just warm out. They sit in one spot. And I think Scott caught 20 fish standing in one spot.
They stopped the school.
they stopped that. It was just right there. You know, they were feeding.
Awesome.
And those fish were jumping out of the water, man. It was just an incredible bite on Wednesday.
See?
You know, we never caught it.
I'm going to give you credit where credit's due. Anybody else would have probably, oh, man, let's jump out right now and start chasing them. But you did
uh-huh.
the right thing. You got ahead of that school.
Got
then
ahead
got
of them.
Out.
Yep.
And let them
yep.
come to you, and then you let the beat down begin. That's the way you do it.
Good.
That's how you
and
do it if you
good,
want
man.
To do it right.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was so
that's
funny because they got off of the top mm-hmm. where the grass kind of got bad, and we get like 2 or 3 rocks, and it would grass
mm-hmm.
up, you know. So we went to plastics, and that Little John watermelon red was just smoking hot. I mean, that bait was so
boy.
Hot.
Boy, Little John.
Smoking them on it, a little smoking them on it, you know, so.
It's hard to believe that Little John catches such big quality fish. It really is.
It is. It's amazing. And that flounder was caught on a Little John. That flounder
oh,
was
yeah.
caught on that chicken on a it was electric chicken.
Electric chicken. Oh, the chartreuse chicken. And pink.
Yes. Oh yeah. Man, that flounder.
I call that puke truce.
Puke truce.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good name
it's
for
after
it.
After a bad night of drinking wine, man.
Oh man.
Puke truce.
That's good stuff.
Coughing up the toenails, baby.
Yeah. But I just knew we were going to get back on those fish Thursday. You know, so I pull in there Thursday, and I pull in there, and it's kind of dead, not really any slicks. And I see bait, but not as good as it was, you know. And I pull up a little shallower, and I'm thinking, man, they're just not here. My guy steps out and gets a 5-pounder first cast. I go, okay, they're in here, man.
Well,
and then
let's hang
yeah.
out here a while.
And then you know, just something happened to me. I just can't believe. So I threw a one knocker out there, Mickey, and we're in the boat. We're drifting up to this next spot. I said, hey, just pull up and get ahead of this bait and drift to this next spot. So we're gonna drift and throw baits while we're there. And I fired at him in the middle of the boat, Mickey, and I rocked that thing. And this trout came up, Mickey. I hate to even say this. It was a monster. But he smoked that topwater. And in the back of my head, I go, of all the baits for me to get this big fish on at the topwater. What's my odds?
Yeah.
You know, and she come out of the water, she strip drag about 50 yards and pull down with wrath and pull me off. I'm going, And then John, the guy that fished with Jay, goes, you know, Jay don't use topwater because you lose too many fish. I go, well, Jay's a lot smarter than I am because I'm still watching them hit the topwater, you know. There's something about that topwater, you know, train wreck I just like, you know. But it's true. If I'd have had something, that plug would have been inside that fish's mouth, a double D or Meridine or plastic, I probably would have landed that fish. But here I am, and, you know, I'm down there and all this rock and grass. And the last thing I felt, so he runs down there, and when those big fish are running like that, I just lower my rod tip to the water. I don't never pump it. You don't ever want to pump your line.
No.
And just let him run. And I feel him stop. Two big old head shakes, and I feel him go down to the bottom, and I see mud come up. I go, game over.
You feel him load up.
Yeah, so he load up, and then, oh, God, and I pulled that plug up, just, you know, looked like a Brillo pad. I was just bummed, man. Anyway, like a long story short, it was good. And so my guys, they're waiting that spot, they're having a great time and catching lots of fish. And I got one guy in the boat eating a sandwich, and I go to drop him off. The other guys, they're catching fish. And all of a sudden, the two guys pull their rods up, and they walk back toward the boat. And I said, man, what's the deal? They want to go home or what? He says, hey, man, you know, we've had 2 days in here, and you were talking earlier about Plan B, and I like what you're talking about, deep structure. We never fish deep structure. And I says, wait a minute, you want me to pull you off these 5 and 6 pounders and go look for fish? Breaking the golden rule, you know. And said, yeah, we've caught enough. Let's go try something. It's a beautiful day. Let's go look around, you know. So, you know, I pull out of there, Mickey, and I'll pull way down about, you know, 5 or 6 miles later. And I drop the trolling motor down. I work in this bank, and it's nothing but dinks. I mean, they're 13 to 14 inch trout.
But we're fishing deep structure, man.
We're fishing deep structure, and we're not catching them, you know. So I say, hey, man, well, last time it was like this high water, those fish were way up tight in the mouth of these sloughs. And so I go down about 4 or 5 miles. I put the trolling motor down. We're trolling. We've been 15 minutes. We ain't had a bite. John's on the front of the boat. He's throwing a soft plastic. He throws it out. He raises his rod tip. You know, kind of get a little backlash. They kind of roll the line up a little bit. He rolled back down. I see his line go thump. I can see the big bow go thump. I go, he's there. And, you know, I felt him set the hook. A legitimate 7-pound, 28.5-inch trout. And so, you know, that whole trip was worth going down there for that one big trout, you know. And we all take pictures of it, you know, took group picture of it. And he says, well, that's a good way to end the day. And we took off. But, man, it was so cool. Only that one big fish come out of that whole drift, but that was the best fish he caught that year. But that was a legitimate 7. That wasn't a 6.5. That was on the boat, a little over 7. That's a big fish for this time.
You know, and those fish this time of year, they're at their really their puniest, and wait till December and January.
Yes.
Those fish will have another pound of weight on them.
Yeah, it's so hot. Make our water's 84 degrees in some places. I mean, it's just incredible.
Crazy?
You know, I can't get no bunched up fish.
It's November almost. I mean, unbelievable.
I know it.
Oh, well.
Our weatherman said we're set.
Take this unbelievable break, and I'll come back after you. We'll continue on, man. That's
I'll
get my waders and everything out and get ready for the next session.
All right, buddy.
Well, I need to take a moment to tell everybody about the Belleville Meat Market, located in downtown Belleville. They're easy to find. Smoked sausage samples, they're available daily in their store. They have a full menu of pecan smoked barbecue, served Monday through Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. And check out their bulk pricing that's available on fresh ground beef and all of their pecan smoked sausage. And their original country hot dogs, you can buy 2 packs, get the 3rd pack free. And if you're looking to have a quarter or half calf processed, that's available for pre-order also. And their wild game processing, just in time for deer season, a new sausage recipe is available. You got to try it and get your deer tamales and venison hot dogs made with your processing. Your family will love that you did. And they're now taking orders for their country smoked turkeys, 11 to 13 pound average weight birds, limited supply. So get them while you can here before Thanksgiving. That's the Belleville Meat Market, where meat is our middle name.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. It's 618. All right. Cliff, we are back.
All right, buddy.
All right.
It was a good week. I got a lighter week this week. Not as many trips, but getting ready to go bird hunting one more time. My son just loaded with doves still, so I'm going to go shoot one more round of dove today.
Yeah, I talked to Blaine yesterday, and he didn't have any paying hunters down there, but him and all his buddies were out in the field yesterday evening popping them.
Yeah, it's just stupid.
Blaine sitting there calling the shot. Get that one. Get that one. Yelling at him, you can hear him. Oh, great shot.
That's good stuff.
I was getting a play-by-play. It was pretty funny.
Yeah. And I don't know what it is about dove hunting South Texas. That's, you know, of all the wing shooting, I think that might be my favorite. You know, it's just so relaxing. Oh, yeah. You don't have to put out a bunch of decoys. You don't have to pick up decoys in the mud. You don't have to get there before daylight, you know. You know, and you can actually eat what you shoot, so I kind of like it, you know. It's good stuff.
I take it you're not a big duck lover either.
When I was a kid, I eat them just so I could shoot them. You know, just like my mom and dad, if you shot it, you ate it, so I loved them. It was because I wanted to shoot them, you know. But my mom could make a duck taste good. Oh, my God. She would, you know, brine it in salt water and beat it with a hammer and, you know, and soak it in salad dressing, and 2 days later cook it, and it was good. She fried everything, you know.
Right.
And she fried everything well done because of all the roadkill we had to eat, you know, so it was all good. It was good stuff.
Roadkill.
I'm serious. I tell people that, you know, my dad being a game warden, so whatever came out of that patrol car, it may have been in the back of somebody's truck for 2 days or something, and, you know, we just pulled it out. If it looked half decent, that was our dinner, you know, so... Mom fried everything real good to make sure, you know. So my poor wife, she goes, how much are you going to fry that piece of meat? I said, well, you know, it's not black yet. Anyway, I've gotten better on my older age, but I had a tendency to overcook everything because that's how Mom cooked it, you know.
Right.
It was good stuff.
Nothing irritates me anymore than going to fish fry and somebody to. I'm sitting there looking at them. I'm looking in that fry pot, and that fish has been floating for like 2 minutes.
I know it.
You know, you don't want to say anything and hurt their feelings.
I know.
Lord,
it looks like leather.
Don't ruin that fish, man.
Yeah, I know it, man. It's all about hot temperature and, you know, in and out of there quick on real hot temperature. That's the deal with the fish, especially the trout.
I mean, as soon as fish floats, it's coming out for me. Mm-hmm. I want it moist in the middle, you know, crispy on the outside.
And that's what shrimp. Same thing with shrimp. Man, you make a shrimp tub.
Oh, shrimp. I mean, if you wait on shrimp to float, it's going to be like boot leather. I mean, it's different on shrimp. It cooks quick. Whether you're boiling it or frying it, it cooks extremely fast. Mm-hmm.
You know, I got those shrimp out of San Antonio Bay, and that is the best shrimp in the world. God almighty, it's just the best. But I was going to tell you what happened yesterday. It's so good. So I got Friday off, and the wife and I decided to walk the dogs early in the morning. And so we walked down the corner of our street. And I was about, probably 7:30 o'clock. We're walking the dogs down there. And at the end of my street, I can look across here in the street. There's a vacant lot there, and I can see the flats in Laguna Madre. I can see the flats. Nikki, I walk out in that flat, and there are tails everywhere. There's redfish tails, there's trout tails, there's drum tails. And I'm going, oh, my God, look at all these fish. And Carl says, don't do it. Carl says, don't do it. And I said, we're going fishing. I said, no, can't take it. I was so tired yesterday. And my neighbor, I walked by Steve's house, my neighbor, he's got a little Mayak flat bottom. I said, Steve, get your binoculars, look in that flat. Some of those are big trout. He goes, I'll put the boat in the water, I'll pick you up at the house. And so yesterday, I'm dead tired at 11 o'clock, I'm in the boat sight casting fish on top of a console. I said, you know, you must be ate up with it. God almighty. But we couldn't get them to eat, Mickey, so we'd go out there and we'd troll motor real slow up to them. They had their head down, big old flashwater tail up, and you slow roll a paddle tail and they just snob you. Nothing. I don't know what they're eating, but they're eating nothing we wanted. Even the redfish wouldn't eat. But we threw at 20 of them. It was cool.
Digging for worms. I hate it.
I don't know, Bubba.
When
they
you
would,
can see
no
them
truck.
And they're tailing like that, it is almost impossible to catch them.
It's crazy how we were right on top of them. You know, a couple of them, I dropped it and bounced off their nose a couple of times. And they just snobbed me, you know. So,
you know, I don't know. Anyway, I grew up wade fishing with, and we'd get in that kind of situation, and he'd just walk all through them. Just
really?
Walk all through them and scatter them everywhere and then turn around and start catching them and get them to moving.
Give them to moving. Mm-hmm. Well, they were so funny because these were, before we had Packery Channel, we had no clumps of oysters up here. 10 years ago, no oysters.
Right.
And now within 3 or 4 miles of the Packery, we got clumps of oysters in our flats.
Boy, and, you're going to.
Yeah.
You're going to catch some toads off of that in the wintertime.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
You know, like right now, I've lived in this house for almost 30 years. There was no oysters in the back flat. Now there's several, 20, 30 clumps of oysters. And when the low tide, you see all these clumps of oysters, and every year they're getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
Oh,
you know,
continue.
I don't know. But, yeah. You think they'll die on a freeze in that really shallow water, though? I mean, they're in probably 2 or 3 foot of water.
I know if it's – maybe if it gets exposed and it's totally dry and then – But now, as long as it's got water over them, you'll be all right.
Mm-hmm. I've never dealt with oysters here. Crazy.
You just don't want any fresh water. And you don't want it too salty, then the oyster drills will get them and kill them, you know.
What's an oyster drill?
It's a parasite that targets, you know, oysters like that when the salinity's too high.
Man, I didn't know that.
Oysters have a tough life.
Evidently. God almighty.
It's a delicate balance, you know, for everything to come together and for them to expand and grow like that, and then spat off, you know.
I guess that's what those drum were eating back in there, because they were right on top of those oyster shells.
That's the biggest decimation to oyster beds, other than, you know, oyster drills or fresh water, is drum. Those big drum, they eat oysters like crazy. That just
we're seeing some 30-pounders in there. God.
Oh, yeah, those drum will get in there, and they'll take those oyster shells. They'll take them down into their crushers there at the entrance to their throat, and they'll crush those oysters and get that get the meat out of them. You ever notice catch drum, you'll see the, like, little pieces of, like, coral coming out of their anus? That's the oyster shell
that's the
clutter,
oyster stuff.
You know,
I'll be dang.
That they've digested.
Mm-hmm. We haven't dealt with that. Just now we're seeing that, because we've never had oyster reefs. You know, Nueces Bay was the closest, you know, Rockport, stuff like that had oysters. But you come across that bridge, salinity level 80 parts per thousand, you're not going to see a lot of oysters.
No, you're not.
Now the freshwater, less saltier water coming out of the Gulf
water.
Of Mexico.
I mean, that's the richest water there is for marine life. There's nothing like Gulf water coming into your bay system.
Yeah. A guy sent me a picture yesterday of a lingy caught in Baffin Bay, a ling, you know, the small one. But pretty cool, man.
You've been seeing all the giant ling. Brian's been catching.
Yes, oh my God, what a monster.
Man, he's been pouring the coals to him.
Some big ling right there.
Yeah.
That one picture he sent me, I had two guys holding up these ling. They had to be 50-pounders.
Yeah.
I mean, those were monsters. Yeah, it was something else. God almighty. Something, man. I used to catch those ling, go offshore, you know, and catch them now, and I just haven't done in a while, but that's a fine table fish right there, especially one about 20 pounds. You know, 15, yeah. 20 pounds, that's a great ling to eat.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Very good.
I would guess Sharky's catching them too, right? Sharky catching them offshore now?
Well, you know, they didn't have that good a year offshore on ling up this way. I mean, there were some caught, but, I mean, it took forever to get some on the board in the Star Tournament, and things were just different up this way this year, you know, offshore.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm looking at my records
that,
on water.
Blue water to come
crazy.
In, and they just had some issues.
The water temperature's crazy right now, and I'm still surfing without a wetsuit. I mean, it's nuts. I mean, this is, you know, it's just the water's still warm in the bay. And so one day we waited Monday. We put waders on. It was just borderline. The next day we took them off, you know. So now I'm still wet wading. The waders are just, you know, a little bit too hot.
Yeah, it is.
It's good in a boat ride in the morning. You hit that, you get down south around Bath and Bay, it drops 10 degrees down there. It's crazy. So the morning wade was a little cool, but I had one guy that waded Monday without waders. He was fine. It was a little tough getting in the morning, but he was fine after that. He didn't want to get out of the water. He says, I'm not going to get out for an hour or two.
No, it's better to stay in the water. I mean, when you get out and take the boat ride, then you get a little chilly. But, well, that's right on the, you know, when that's happening, whether to put waders on or leave them off, I mean, that's right on the cutting edge of fixing to be some really good fishing. When you have to put them on and leave them on, That's when it's going to get good.
Yeah. I'm ready for some of that good fishing, man.
Hell, a lot of the fishing I see done down your way, Mansfield and all that, all you need is hip boots. nobody wades deep, man. Everybody stays in there shallow. Just wear some hip
boots.
And,
you know, I was talking to Wyatt, my neighbor, and, you know, he loves Mansfield. He says, I'm a shallow water fisherman. I'm a calf deep water fisherman. I says, I agree with you. That's where the big fish are. But you have to have certain talent to do that. Everybody doesn't do shallow water because they walk too fast in it and they profile their fish. They spook them out. You know, it takes a certain wade shallow. It's a different wade shallow than it is deep. It's a totally different wade.
Yes, it is.
You know, it's more of a slip around, you know, slip around real easy and stop and look and then walk 10 feet real easy and look. That's kind of what you do when you're up shallow.
Well, and even, you know, wading, you know, half thigh deep to waist deep, you still got to be easy with these fish, man. I can't stand it when you get that one guy in your group, it's a tromper,
walks,
man.
Walks his ass,
you know, walking around like an elephant and won't stop when he catches a fish. Instead of reeling the fish up to him, he walks up to the fish while he's fighting it. And he just walked out of the school that he just got
a fish out of the school of fish. I had that happen too. And that's what I loved about my guys. My guys on Wednesday, Thursday.
Throw your anchor out, dude.
Yes. You know, and Jay trained them well. Those guys I had Wednesday, Thursday, they, as soon as they caught a fish, they all bowed up. And then one guy would catch him, they would hug in on him and get on that school of fish. I was impressed.
Right.
Like, you know, okay,
you
got to
do it.
Scott caught 20 in a row. Guess what? Scott's got friends. All of a sudden, he looks and his buddies are right and left of him. But that's what you're supposed to do.
Well, when I'm running down a shoreline, I see four or five guys wading a flat, and they're all spread out, you know, quarter mile apart. I said, well, they ain't catching them. And then you get on down a ways, you'll see a group of three or four, and they're all shoulder to shoulder. I said, those guys are getting them.
You know, that's
amazing how everybody tightens up when somebody finds a fish, you know.
It is good stuff. It is good stuff, you know. And it's so important, you know, to watch the bait. You know, when we're right now, we got just bunches of bait. And some of it is so inactive. You can just really tell by watching the bait when the fish move through it.
Right.
You know, if you're behind it and you're chasing them, you'll never get to them. If they're blowing out in front of you and every time they do it, they're 100 yards farther out, you need to get back in the boat, get on the trolling motor, and get in front of them. That's what I'm having to do right now.
Well, you know, that's smart on your part. At least you're able to read it and know what you need to do.
Yeah, yeah. And there's days it's just one school after another coming by. You don't have to do that. But then there's days where, man, we just caught a really big fish out of this slip right here on these bait slip, and let's stay with the school, you know. And those fish we're catching Wednesday and Thursday were 23 to 26. 90% of our fish were you know, 23 to 26. Those are solid fish. You know,
that's solids, man. That's solids.
You know?
Seeing up here, our solids are 16, 19.
Uh-huh.
The bar's coming, been lowered quite a bit.
Yeah. Yeah. But you slipped through the year without a hurricane or out some major rains right now, so hopefully you'll bounce back a little bit this coming year.
We just need a break. I mean, we've had a lot of adversity in the last 8-9 years. Mm-hmm. Really have.
I know it, man.
And it's really surprisingly, you know, it's mind-boggling that we have what we do with the adversity we've endured. You know, that 2021 freeze, there, nobody wants to talk about that. We had a bigger fish kill up here than people will admit. They don't, I'll lose all my business. I've fished through all the big giant freezes that decimated the whole coast, and the business never went away. People want to go fishing.
Mm-hmm. And this is what got me the other day. So I had one of my guys complain about Parks and Wildlife really messed up on the slot. You know, I told you about that. He threw 40 oversized trout. I said, really? He complained about that. I says, you know, Mr. Watkins is probably making more money and has the best business on the coast. He keeps no fish. He throws lures.
Yeah.
And he's booked as solid as he can. So guess what? You don't have to hang them up to have business. You take care of what's in that boat that day, and you show them a good time. You try to teach them something. You catch
that's
the
where
fish,
you build businesses in the boat with
that's
you while you're out there doing
that's
it. That's where you make customers.
Yes, sir.
I mean,
it's not on the photo. It's not on the
people that have to shop through Facebook and kick tires and all that to book a trip. They're missing the point.
That's it. That's so true. You know,
they really are. Mm-hmm. Well, let me knock this break out. I'll be right back. All right, buddy.
All right, buddy.
Well, I need to take a moment to tell everybody about Boyd's One Stop. They're the home of the supercharged, super slimy powerhouse croakers located right at the base of the Texas City Dyke at 227 Dyke Road. And, folks, if you're looking for quality live bait for your next fishing trip, look no further than Boyd's. From their tanks to your live well, that bait's as good as it can possibly be. And there's no better way to live your bait or your tournament fish than with their oxygen response system. They're on display there at the store. Check them out, all their different size bottles. You can check out their diffusers and regulators, plus they refill your bottles right there at the store. For more info, call Jason Cogman at 281-701-8107. And when you're by the store, check out all their wild-caught Gulf seafood. No farm-raised at Boyd's. It's all wild-caught and fresh, great price, great availability. And check out their Cajun Grill next door. They put out some really good food there at affordable prices. Call them at 409-945-4001 or check them out at boydsonestop.com. And when you do, please tell them Captain Mickey sent you. And welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, 638 here in the Bayou City. All right, Cliff, we're back again, brother.
All right, buddy. All right, man.
Where
you know, everybody gets in my boat.
When I went to break, I already forgot where we were catching them.
But, you know, it's so funny because everybody gets in my boat from Houston. The worst complaint is they shut rollover paths down. It's the funniest thing.
Hey,
every fisherman.
A touchy subject around these
it's
parts.
It's a touchy
buddy.
Subject, isn't it? God, people are mad about that. Man, you know. And I was listening to James talk about all the rocks, you know. And they're doing the same thing here so we had the perfect fishing scenario at Packery with the granite rocks. You could walk out and you could fish all along the edge of the rocks. Now they put these little round rocks about the size of a basketball all on the edge. And nobody can walk on them. Everybody's falling down. And it's just
breaking
hilarious.
Ankles,
you know?
Tearing up knees.
But the funniest thing they did, so they piled these bulldozers work at Packery. We don't know why they do it, but they just constantly moving the sand around, piling around, messing up. Well, they piled this big pile of sand up next to the rocks. And as soon as the north wind blows, it blows all the sand, the jetties, and they got to spend $2 million to dredge it. And after seven years, they just now figured it out. They had the Corps of Engineers trying to come out how to move that pile of sand that they took 7 years to build. But I just, you know, it's just like who decides these decisions? I mean, these people are definitely not outdoorsmen, you know?
No, they're not. They work for a bureaucracy.
Yeah. They're city slickers or something. Everything. I don't know, man. Yeah. God almighty, man. They need to get outside more. I tell these guys that do the bulldozer stuff. I said, why don't the city manager, why don't you come out here and look at this stuff in the morning, what they're doing? I mean, the beach is perfect. Then you got all these bulldozers messing it up, you know, after a storm. It's just, and you look at the other side, they don't do nothing to it. It's perfect.
The old theory, anyway, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. They don't look at
it. And that's what they're
way.
Doing. They're trying to fix things that aren't broke, Mickey. God,
well, they're trying to create a job that's really worthless. Yeah. There's no point in paying somebody to do something that's not going to work. Mm-hmm. I mean, but somebody's getting paid. It's like James said, man, he needs to get in the rock business.
I know he does. I do too, man. I need to get in a boat ramp business. So finally, our city manager came on the news last night or night before, and said they're going to put $1 million boat ramp in Flyer Bluff because they shut down all the boat ramps on Laguna Shores now. Everything's bought, sold, nothing.
I know everybody's so got to come across the causeway to your side now to put in, right?
And, you know, even on Monday, you can't get your boat in the water for people. Even on Monday, Mickey, it's
That's
crazy,
unreal, dude.
You know, and they're towing cars away. They're trying to, you know, put their boats in these private ramps on the island, and they towed away several cars with their trailers on. People come by mad about that, you know, and it's just a mess out here. It's just crazy. We got two boat ramps that are working right now. That's nuts.
That's not very many for there.
No, and you got to back your car in, you know, where your tailpipe bubbles. But
well, y'all's ramps are so, you know, there's no slope to them because, well, you have no shoreline. Everything's so flat that the ramps are flat too, you know. That's just the way it is.
Yeah, it was crazy. Crazy at the morning at Market 37. There's still, you know, still plenty of croakers and pickies, so those guys got to get there at 3:30 in the morning to fight for the best bait. You know, they all want the best top-of-the-line bait, so they're all there
for
with
three
the
trout.
Buckets,
go through all that just so they can catch three trout.
You know, it's like I love Joy Fair. Joy's so smart. So Joy says, look, man, if I got anybody that can cast, I'm throwing plastic because I can reel a paddle tail across the flat. I'm going to get my 6 or 9 trout, whatever I need.
Yeah.
You know? And then I can buy half a pound of bait for a couple of bucks and go get all the drum and reds they want. I don't have to spend $150 on picky perch and shrimp to catch the same fish, you know? So I think he's one of the smarter ones of the bunch. But anyway, they do their business the way they want to do it, Mickey, and whatever.
I know. I mean, we're not downgrading them or anything, but it's just logical.
Mm-hmm.
Well, to me, it doesn't make any sense. To other people, it does, and everybody has their own opinions.
It's just fishing, man. If you can make your guy in your boat just a little bit better fisherman when you leave, you felt like you've done
something.
So, you know, that's kind of what it's about. Kind of buff you out, just make you a little bit better. Maybe you're doing something there that I see that may help you, or maybe you see something I'm doing that will help me. And I've had that too, you know. I've taken some of the best trout fishermen in the world, and believe me, they've showed Cliff a few things. I'm like, oh my God, you know, this guy's really good. You know, so
it's amazing how far we've come. You know, from when I first started guiding to now, the progression of how many really good trout fishermen there are on this coast.
That's funny you said that. I agree with you, Mickey. When I first started trout fishing, there was nobody trophy trout fishing. I was down there. I couldn't get any business. And finally, thank God, I took Doug Pike. And Doug and I caught all those fish, and he wrote that article and got me going down here. But after that, I was like getting $50 a day for shooting ducks, and the ducks were falling in the water, and the trout were when a duck hit the water, a giant trout would spook out. Like, oh man, maybe you ought to try to. Hey, the best thing ever! I'm walking after a crippled duck, and I see about an 8-pound trout cruising in the flat. I go, man, what am I doing out here with this shotgun? You know, but I couldn't get anybody to come. You know. But now everybody's a trophy trout fisherman. They, you know, trophy trout tournaments everywhere. It's just, man, things have just gone nuts with the trout. It's crazy. You know. But anyway, it's all good.
Yeah, I remember when I started Trout Masters back in 96. Everybody said, that ain't going to fly. It ain't going to work.
Oh, that thing was the biggest ever. Oh, my God.
And I said, man, You're not in touch with people like I am that I know all up and down this coast that are I mean, they're crazy over this stuff. I said, that's, and for them to be able to compete and make big money doing what they love and they're good at it. And boy, it brought them out of the woodwork. We just saw how good they were, man.
Yeah, that was a great program you had there. And, you know, once
they'd
catch
all
big
show
trout,
up, you know, we'd go down to Rockport and all of them would pile in on Friday nights. And they always held on to their money till the last minute. And then they'd pay to enter, you know, at the captain's party. And
they would see who's in it. They go, wait a minute, let's see who's in this thing.
I'm looking around. I go, look at all these animals standing around here. I mean, just
I know it.
Hungry, bad to the bone trout fishermen everywhere. And I'm going, man, this is big. And,
this is good stuff.
My tournament director, old Gordy, go, man, who do you think is going to win this one? I said, well, look out there in the crowd. I can pick out about 100 right now that's got a real good shot of winning this.
Yes, sir.
And, I mean, that's how good they were.
Yes. And now what I'm watching, too, Mickey, I'm watching these younger teams getting bumped by younger teams. I'm seeing the studs that were studs 2 years ago are not studs now because they've been trumped by the younger generation that's
exactly.
more higher tech, you know. And that's what's – that you just watch this progress, you know. I can look at all the used to be trout fishermen, the used to be winners, you know, and stuff. Now they've come down the line because the younger guys have taken their place. It's just like football. You know, you could be a great running back, but there's going to be a time when the younger guy comes in there and takes your spot. And it's exactly the way the fishing is. What happens to you is you get, oh, you can't fish as much, Mickey. You can't get out there 5 or 6 days a week and stand in your console and fish daylight to dark and stay on the big fish like these younger guys do.
No.
You got to
can't,
and that's
just,
what. Yes, and the key to that is keeping good records, and that's the only thing that saved my butt. Is I write down every day I fish, and I get in a slump. I go back 5 or 6 years and look at where I was at that time of the year and what's going on, and it really helps me. Other than that, I'd be in trouble because I can't fish as much. I can fish about 4 days a week. That's about it.
Yeah,
you know, I need to fish about 7.
Well, you want to still enjoy it, and when it becomes, you know.
Yes.
You're just killing yourself and working yourself down. I mean, you didn't feel that 20 years ago. I mean, it was nothing to it.
No. Yeah. And what happens to me is I get so fired up on those big trout, Mickey. I get in those big fish and I get fired up and I come on my wash the boat. I'm still got adrenaline. I'm just jacked up. Then about 6 o'clock, it all comes off and I'm hurting like crazy. I'm just like, I'm feeling really bad and tired because everything's wore off, you know, and I go, man. And the next morning I get back in the boat, someone pops a big trout and here it goes again, you know. So it's a drug.
You're very fortunate to have that luxury.
Yeah.
And it's I hadn't felt like that in years up here. I mean, it's just, you know, the stage we're going through with our bay system. And it's very disheartening to me. People don't understand. They go, man, you don't seem to be as fired up as you used to about fishing. I said, I'm doing the same thing every time I go. I'm catching the same small fish. And I mean, when I go now, I don't feel like I have a chance to catch that one big fish. And that's all I need, one big fish a day.
Fire you up,
That'll keep the werewolves away. I mean, it just but it, you know, it's all about attitude and confidence and all that. I mean, I've done it my whole life, and it just, I don't get in that zone anymore unless I come down your way and fish with you or somebody, you know, Jay or somebody, and then I know, hey, I got a shot. I know there's big and fish here.
Well, it's hard when your playing field doesn't have the product that you need. Now, you're out there, and you know in the back of your mind is my chance of catching something really good, so the motivation is not there. And my deal is I'm fishing an area that any day I catch 12-pound trout, even right now. Like, after losing that fish Thursday, I realized, hey, man, there's still some really, really big fish.
Yes.
You know, and that's what was getting me about the 3 days. We're catching all these 5- and 6-pound trout and couldn't bust a 7, and we finally bust that 7. You know they're in there. And the 6-pound trout are nice. You know, they're 27 inches long. They're great fish, you know. Some of them are skinny, but once you get that 7-8, it's a different animal. Like Doug Bird says, 27 and up are a different animal.
It is. And, it's a whole different creature. And it, like right now, if I knew when I put my boat in the morning and said, hey, I'm going to go out there and get on a bunch of schools of 4- to 6-pound trout like I used to, that'll keep you going forever. I mean, that's good fish. That's fun, and that's good fighting fish, and it, you know, it's something to look forward to. And that'll get you out of bed in the mornings, I can tell you that.
And it was so funny, the one guy I had with me this week, he fished with Sheikah for years, you know, and he's 75 years old, and he's fished with everybody on the coast, just a great fisherman. You know, and he was talking about, he said, "Hey, Cliff, what happened to all these birds that worked in November and October with all those big trout?" And I said, "I don't know, man. You hardly ever see birds work in Bathing like they used to. Mickey, we would go see those birds in shallow water. There'd be 25, 27-inch trout on them. Now you may see a couple little flocks of birds. It's usually skipjack or small trout. I mean, what changed that? Our shrimp are still there.
Right.
I mean, are they eating more? Are they eating more pinfish now? More? Is there more mullet? What changed there? I just don't get it. You know, I wish I could figure out.
I don't have the answer for that either. Now, if I see birds working shallow, you know, I know what it is. It's redfish.
Redfish, yeah.
But back in the day, you know, that could have been reds, or it could be giant trout too, and or both mixed together.
And well, the guy that had this last week, he's fishing for 35 years. He goes, "Remember in November, Cliff, you would just ride around and look at the birds and decide which flock you wanted. You'd always go to the shallow birds, and the way the birds were circling around and picking up the bait, you knew what they were. I said, I could tell the redfish or trout the way the birds are working."
Yeah, and I could tell by the size of the blow-ups under them birds, too, with the shrimp jumping on water. Yes. You see that big blow-up, you go, uh-oh, those are good
trout
ones.
Jumping out of the water, oh, my God.
Drive through 2- and 3-pounders so you get to those 4- to 7s. Mm-hmm. We used to catch 8-pounders under the birds in my bay in the fall.
I know.
God, it was not uncommon. Fair. I mean, it was an everyday occurrence.
And with those, you know, that was a shrimp. The same thing, the birds were on, even those big fish were on those shrimp. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, some and of we the did have trout I saw caught back in Trinity Bay back in the day, on the wells, were fishing with popping corks and live shrimp. I mean, 30 inchers.
God, that's amazing. Yeah, that's something, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah. I look at some of the old pictures of the bay too, you know, and in the back of the we're holding up fish in the back of the ground, there's a flock of birds in the back of the picture, you know, going, "Look at all these birds in the picture." And I said, "You don't see that. You don't see many seagulls anymore on our bay." That's another thing.
I've seen midways across Trinity Bay, like, you know, from the old Crawley's camp there at Umbrella Point, you just draw a line from there to Double Bow on the east shoreline. All the waters northward of that, I've seen times where there'd be 200 and 300 schools of birds working at one time.
That's unreal, man.
And you just,
I saw a picture.
You just look at it and go, "Man, where do I pull in? What do I do?" Boy, that's a tough problem to have. So you're pulling out of 2- and 3-pounders to go catch bigger ones, you know?
Yeah. It was a picture of Galveston, and there's a boat in the background. And as far as you could see, it looks like a garbage dump. I've never seen nothing like it, the solid bird. And a guy sent me, I think, one of the Gunther brothers, I might have been Bobby Gunther, sent me a picture of, I think, Bolivar Pocket, or there's a pocket over there.
Yeah, on in the surf, Bolivar Pocket there on the east side of the North
Jetty. As far as you could see, there was birds, as far as you could see. You know, we don't have that bird activity in the surf like you guys, as much as you guys do, but you still get those flocks of birds in the surf. Sometimes we get them over tarpon or over mackerel, but not like you guys got. God almighty, man.
Well, it's how long for the day? I don't know. It's like Charlie said, I don't think we'll ever see it like that again.
You got to think positive.
I'd like to see the look on these new young whippersnappers' faces to see something like that. You know, and there are some really good young fishermen. I mean, they get it.
Oh, I know. They're
ate up with it. It reminds you of yourself when you were that age, when you were first getting into this, and just how gung-ho and excited you were. If they had what we had to work with, I mean,
oh, man,
we had the luxury of being able to just, hey, let's don't mess with all these measly old 2- to 4-pounders. Let's go wait over here and get some good shots at 7-, 8-, and 9-pound fish. And that's what I long for, is something like that. Just one more time, one day.
I think this winter we're going to see some really big fish down here. I think Mansfield and Bath, we're going to produce some really big fish. After seeing what I've seen this year, I mean, man, you know.
I know. If it materializes like I think, I may not be deer hunting this year. I may be trout fishing down there.
Well, come on down,
I'm
man.
I'm going to take my time off. I'm going to come down to God's country and catch a big one.
Treasure your boat down here and, you know, put those condos in down there.
I love it when I get a fish up to me when I'm waiting and I can't get my hand around it. That's that boy, it's big. That's good stuff.
That last 7-pounder we caught. So I'm in the boat and I'm trying to snap that boga on his lip. I don't want to net him because
right.
You knock the slime off him and everything on the net. If I don't have to net a fish, I don't. So my old hands, I got that boga and that fish is hooked right in the corner of my mouth. That soft flat. I know he's going to get off. And the last thing he opened his mouth, it was the best feeling in the world when I snapped it on his bottom jaw. because I know John's going, God, I hope this guy don't blow this fish. so anyway, we got a picture of it, but. I'm using a bigger boga. I'm using that 30-pound big one in the boat because my hands are so bad now. I weigh with the small one, but that bigger one's got a bigger mouth. You got a better shot at the lip,
That's a bad problem to have, man.
Yeah, I love it, man. I love it.
Oh, well. All right. Well, you got me fired up. Now I can go home and eat breakfast and take a nap. I had a late night.
I'm gonna go
I stayed up
surf.
And watched the World Series, man. You go catch you a big old toad in the surf this morning.
I'm going to try, man. I'd like just an 18-incher for some ceviche today. I'll take anything I can get,
there you
man.
Go. That'll work.
All these All fish right, the last 2 weeks, I ain't had no fish to eat. All right, buddy.
Well, hey, throw them out a number. Somebody wants to come down and live the dream.
All right, Mickey. I'm in area code 361-949-0707. Hey, thanks for having me on, Mickey.
Hey, Cliff, I enjoy it. See you, buddy.
Bye, buddy.
Later. All right. Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today's show. But guess what? We'll be back in the morning at 4 a.m. bright and early right here at Sports Radio 610 KILT Houston.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.